It's time once again for the William Hill Sports Show, live from the William Hill Sportsbook inside the Club Cal Neva. Here's your host, Kenny B.
Welcome, sports fans. This week's edition of the William Hill Sports Show. Might be a little bit hoarse. Just got back off from a 10-day vacation and went down to Vegas, went to Nashville. And thanks to Josh and Tommy for carrying the show for us last week. I'm your host, Kenny B. We're not at the Club Cal Neva. We're actually at the ESPN Studios here in Reno. Josh Nagel from Sportsline to my left. What's going on, Josh?
Ken, not too much. Well, it looks like we got another full slate of sports the whole weekend. So looking forward to get through all this college football, NFL, and some UFC.
Absolutely. And John the Hawk Stevens over here behind me.
Yo.
On his couch.
Yeah, on the love seat. He's digging it. Good to be back. I've been on in about a month now, so I'm glad to be back.
Yeah, good deal. What about this Pac team, John? 3-0? I mean,
pretty nice.
3-0. New Mexico next week, right?
Yeah, in Vegas.
In Vegas.
Yeah.
Got to go back to that dump, Sam Boyd. Sam Boyd. I hope you're listening, Joe Rob. That dump.
I never text Joe Rob after the
Cannon
stuff. I'm letting him sit on it, I guess. I may have texted him. I don't know. We were pretty loose that night in Nashville, but yeah, no, they look darn good. Carson Strong is as advertised, slinging that ball around the field. And
what about Romeo
Dubs is just he's next level. He's unbelievable. You know, it's going to hurt not having Elijah Cook there as his second fiddle, but I don't even know if he needs one.
He's that good.
Yeah, he really is. Defense played good. I mean, they're fun to watch. It's been a while. I mean, what, 10 years since we've had this kind of team?
Absolutely.
I mean, that's putting a lot on them, 13-1, 11 in the nation. I don't know if they're that good, but
well, you know, if they – I mean, who's to say now? I mean, obviously, you know, these games that we were going to be a bigger dog in – example, the San Diego State game, the spreads came down, obviously came down
sure.
a little bit.
And it did look pretty good.
And then the Boise
good,
game, not the Boise game. The Boise game, right?
We don't play Boise in regular season.
Who's our other big game?
Hawaii?
No, not Hawaii. I'm drawing a blank. Right. Anyways, so, I mean, we said that we were going to be excited if the Pack would have two losses. But,
yeah.
Man, I think we probably end the season with one loss. I mean, one conference loss.
If that, who knows? I mean, this is a team that almost gave it away to Wyoming. We can't get too ahead of ourselves, but from the last couple of performances, I thought there'd be more of a letdown, which there may have been in the first quarter of the game, just, you know, playing 4 days after the battle for the Fremont Cannon, which is blue, Joe Robinson. But it wasn't. They're just sound from that start all the way. And I had 17.5 with Utah State. And it was looking great early, and you know I'm glad to lose those when I did. I didn't have a ton on it, but I thought it was a good spot for a letdown for the Pack.
You did actually get into a position there late to possibly approach a backdoor cover.
Yeah, I did.
I was watching. I was doing the math. I'm going, whoa, a
scoring at like, two.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
I had the same thing because honestly, for more or less the exact same you know handicapping angle, thinking okay,
and then you go up 9-0.
Right. Well, and here's the thing, but yes, yeah, so it's the short turnover and. I mean, what a relief to finally take care of the Rebels. It's been a big issue during the current tenure. And to take care of them handily, I just thought, well, such a quick turnaround against a team that's desperate and not playing well. I thought, yeah, the setting was just there with no home crowd to fire you up. So I watched Utah State just kind of come out with a chip on their shoulder. And here's what's funny is they did, but they also blew it, right? Because they could have been up like 21-0. I mean, there's the stop on the fourth down. They gained 4 yards and punt.
Yeah.
I mean, even though that guy led to the safety, but come on. It's like that's a free shot. You got the stop. Now maybe go up. And then they had a couple other possessions that just went nowhere. So it's like 9-0 could have easily been much worse.
It could have been.
And then when the Pack settled down, that was that. And you're right. Yep. I went from thinking, okay, now we're 30 points ahead of the spread to please begging Utah State for the backdoor.
They almost had that one.
For the backdoor score in the two. But I have to say – You obviously Jordan Love, first round draft pick. It's going to be a bit of a down year for Utah State, but they look pretty dreadful. And worth noting, the Pack's combined opponents so far are 1-8 overall combined. Sure. So they're going to take a step up in competition.
Not next week though.
But having said that, right?
They're going to be laying 20+
right.
next week.
So, but like I said, and we've talked about this in regard to other teams though. But you still just play who's in front of you, and with
that's all you can do.
Right. Like I said, the Wyoming thing too. That was one where we saw them operate with the big lead and almost. Say it got out of hand coming back the other way because late the way Wyoming plays that physicality did seem to wear him down a bit in the second half. So, it's not as if it's been flawless. And with the UNLV thing, I mean, that was tempting too, because believe it or not, like, I was impressed. UNLV's quarterback's not bad. I mean, they're physically light. They need more work or whatever, right? But that kid got out of trouble, made some good throws. So it's not like they have, like, nobody. And so
there's some good days ahead for UNLV.
I think they'll be on the upswing too, because they do have a good coach. So
I mean, I hope not, but
at least not on Nevada Day.
Regardless, yeah, I mean, Nevada so those day. Were, you know, no matter how you combine them, the Pac's 3-0, of course, so even if it gets. It's against weak competition. This is about as good a start as you could hope for.
Fantastic stuff. Pac laid. What would they end up closing that?
When it high is 18 and a half. What went down to 17. I bought it up to 17 and a half.
Yeah.
And
it went under.
It looked good earlier. And you know, at that point, I'm like, can Pac just get the win? And they just didn't look back.
I was pulling up the stats this year about the teams that have covered the most. Pac's number 7. They're 3-0 get versus the spread. So they're average.
I can't believe they were a dog going into that game against Wyoming, looking back.
Well, there was a starting quarterback did go down on the first play. I mean,
there's no doubt.
You know? And the game got out of, you know, we talked about, you know, maybe a little hangover going, you know, in last night's game early. There might have been a bit of a look ahead in the fourth quarter against Wyoming, too. No, yeah. Okay, we got this one. We're focusing on Vegas.
Well, I blame that on you for leaving early and not telling me.
That's true. I did. We left John's head.
We're
in the
Mac Stadium.
We're at the wall.
They call me. They're like, "What are you doing?" I was like, "I'm watching the game." "Oh, we're going to the wall." Okay. So and at that point, the Pac had that nice handy lead, and then as soon as we get the wall, it's not so much.
Yeah. Absolutely.
So that's your fault.
Exciting stuff next week. On what do we got going right now? Miami. Miami's got a guy, and he a little touchdown pass. Looks like Miami's just going to. They just tied up NC State. Pending extra point. Josh has got the over. A little fist pump to my left. We got a flag. What is this going to be?
Probably celebration.
Yeah, I think it's going to be celebration too. But the Craig is still acting like it's going to be good. So two other games tonight too. Let's talk about these before we jump into these other things. What do we got here? San Diego State at home versus San Jose State. Nick opened this up at 9.5. It went to 10.5. Roughing the passer, so they're gonna get some yards tacked on here, which doesn't make any difference.
Spartans are much improved.
Why wouldn't you do this? If you get a penalty like this on and it's enforced on the kickoff. Example right here, they're gonna kick the ball through the end zone.
Yeah.
So what's the benefit? Why shouldn't it be 15 yards after the return?
I thought you were gonna say why doesn't that team onside kick? Because I've always thought of that.
But what I'm saying is, instead of, I mean, if you're going to kick it through the end zone anyways, you're going to start at the 25. You shouldn't get a free shot at the quarterback. So let's say they kick it off, Josh. They run the ball to the 35-yard line. Now you deduct 15 yards from there.
It's not a bad idea, Ken.
Josh.
Yeah, well, on this extra point thing, I also wonder, too, with college kickers, why not just take it, which you could, force them to kick a 35-yard extra point.
That's true, too.
Which could be the game-changing
That's
point.
True, too. I agree with that. I would do that.
Do you remember this? Because we talked, this was only going a couple years back. Because remember, Hawaii was playing at Nevada, and Nevada had a thing where they scored a touchdown, but Hawaii somehow got two personal fouls on the thing. And so they just, there was like an instant onside kick because there was no risk. You're kicking from the opposing team's like 40-yard line. Yeah. And it's like, even though it didn't work, it's like, you're still just giving it to them at the 20 anyway or the 25.
So that should be your choice. If you get a personal foul after the score, because you can't just take free shots at players knowing that there's really no repercussion.
Right.
Because there's not. No. It's like, you know, it's like jumping off sides at the 2-yard line. Okay, it's going to cost me a yard.
Yeah.
Anyways, Josh.
Right. No, or you've heard like what's become a popular strategy at the end of games with teams trailing by like 6, the other team trying to score a touchdown. Just tackle them. But pass interference, the time will run out, and pass interference will never be a touchdown penalty.
Yeah.
I just mean when the time
especially in college.
Time's running
especially
out.
In college when it's only 15 yards. No, right. It's not a point of contact foul.
Right.
So, anyways, we're trying to reinvent the game.
I know.
San Diego State, Josh. San Diego State at home versus San Jose State. 2-point move. It's opened at 9. It's up to 10.5. Opened up at 9, 9.5. It's up to 10, 10.5. Probably some. I've seen some 11s sprinkled out there. Probably settle in right about now. This game kicks off at 6:00. Josh.
Yes, that.
Did this just happen? Did they?
I was going to say. I think they may have just.
They may have just onside kicked like you guys said. Hold on.
Yeah.
And they did.
See? Got it. Look at that. I told you.
Wow. Josh, go ahead.
Cool. I was going to say, you mentioned San Jose State does look really improved, and that's pretty crazy. You know, I watched part of their game last week, I think, against New Mexico. Part of that was I had no idea what I was watching till the end there. I was actually waiting for the Nevada game to come on. That's why. So I'm watching the fourth quarter, And, you know, the quarterback's name sounds familiar. I'm like, yeah, what is it? It's Nick Starkel was playing for him. It's like the Nick Starkel. I mean, a guy who once battled Kyler Murray for the starting job at Texas A&M. Five-star guy who also went to Arkansas, and this is like his second graduate transfer. So regardless, you have a five-star guy who's taking SEC snaps against the best, starting for San Jose State. No wonder. And I got a few other ones. But they had beaten Air Force by like a touchdown the week before. So they do look improved, but this is just one of those the issues San Jose State always has. Because of recruiting obstacles or whatnot, is that physicality and depth always worries you against a team like San Diego State. So with this one, I would probably just pass on it. No interest.
We'll find out. We'll find out tonight if they're for real or if not. You know, this is a
they're 2-0.
No, exactly. But now we're gonna see if they're for real against San Diego State. So I would lean Spartans over 10, 10.5, 11, but I don't love it. You know, I still feel that San Diego State's far superior for the reasons that you just said, Josh. But it wouldn't shock me if the Spartans hung around here.
Ah, give me San Diego State. I mean, who are we really kidding right here, guys? It's San Jose State. So
listen,
they're 2-0.
To play devil's advocate, Kenny.
Who cares? It's SDSU versus SJSU.
I know. Neither of those are states.
Talk probably. Yourself into it right now, John, and go bet San Diego State.
Neither San Diego or San Jose is a state.
Go ahead. Do it. Come on, buddy. Do it.
I just did. I had hella good points right there. No, I was just – I knew you guys would be on that side, so I took this side.
Did he say hella?
I did.
We don't use that word.
We do now. When we got nothing, we use hella.
As if 2020 hasn't got bad enough.
Why? What happened?
Anyways, it's San Diego State in a blowout for me. Josh?
Yeah, fair enough. Like I said, if you know, gun to the head type of thing, I would take them just because, especially this is where you wonder, like you mentioned, John, with the Spartans, I would be very interested if it was over 2 touchdowns or 17 points. Just take your chances. Yeah. But now that they are getting that adjusted respect, it's like, oh, really? It's not even a full 10. And so, yeah, I would probably back the Aztecs and see what happens.
Adjusted respect, that's a good way to put it. And you're right, but I'll take the Spartans.
All right. Another big game, BYU-Boise State. This actually opened up. This line bounced. It crossed the favorite threshold at least once. And I was surprised to see. I went from my office to the race book up there at the county right before I came down here. And this thing's already moved. It's moved all the way up to BYU -4. It opened up at BYU at 2.5. And then Josh and we were just talking about the reason why, and Josh looked it up. And the reason why is?
Well, it looks like their quarterback, the starting quarterback for Boise, Hank Bachmeyer, it looks like he's just listed as questionable. Apparently, he didn't play last week at Air Force because of an injury, and now the coach is just saying, you know, game time decision type of thing. He's saying it's unclear whether the guy will play. But I guess the good news is, if all the Broncos, the backup quarterback apparently didn't miss a beat, threw for a ton of yards, and the Broncos, who usually struggle with Air Force, came over a little bit of a deficit early, and they ended up winning comfortably. So it's one of those things where even if the quarterback's a question, it could be a 1-1A deal where you don't drop off that much. The one thing I'm wondering, Ken, as you mentioned, though, it's like, you know, BYU's getting so much press. Everyone's seen all their games this year because they're one of the teams that's been playing since the start. And I just feel like
– They're 7-0.
Totally. And they're crushing teams.
They're 7-0.
They're 7-0.
But by and large –
The Pac-12 hasn't had –
that one game.
Right.
BYU's 7-0. I mean,
they've never won on the blue turf.
Right. That's amazing.
And they've
to me,
covered
though.
Almost every game. So here's what I'm wondering, Ken.
I'll tell you right now.
Is this just the
covered
time? I think it's all except one, except like Texas State. Every other one they've covered. I'm pretty sure it's 6-1 spread wise.
They're 5-2 ATS.
Who else did they not cover against? But anyhow,
I have right
regardless.
Here,
but they're like one of those teams in this year is getting a ton of public support because everyone, like you said, they've played more than anybody. All their games are on TV and people, wow, physical and quarterback's playing out of his mind and all that's great. But this is going to be the
Texas San Antonio. They were laying 34, and they won that 27-20. And Western Kentucky, they were laying 31.5 and won by 31.
Oh, so that's the one that I wasn't aware
of. I'm sure
if
you handicap that properly, you should have at least got a push in that Western Kentucky game.
Right. So there you go. So like I said, I thought for sure.
I got you. No, that's fine. I'm not trying to.
But regardless, I just feel like they'll
be a fact checker.
The darling here, and that's why the spread's grown. I just wonder if this is one of those times where it's time to take the Broncos out of that Smurf turf theory that they just don't lose often as a home underdog against bigger teams. They've always done well. And so I'm just tempted to jump in there only because BYU is such a heavy such a heavy public side.
What is the fan situation up there, Albertson?
See, that's the thing. I can't – that's the thing to know. I don't know.
If they had their normal home field advantage, I'd be all over it. But, you know, it is a little different. But still, think, you see that blue turf, it's different.
Right. And also, John, but you look at the lineup of everyone else they face. And Boise State has to stand out. I mean, by far, they're playing Texas State. Yeah. For a while, BYU, there was one of those teams, an independent. They were going, you know, putting out the classified ad. They were taking whoever had an open date. Hey, you want to play us? Cool. And so they're going all over just trying to get whatever games they can. And obviously, you saw Navy's way down. That's who they beat up on in that first game. Back in week one when basically nobody else was playing. Right. And so I just feel like, okay, this is the time, though, as dominant as they've looked. We're finally, you know, fighting in their own weight class. I just probably would have to jump in on Boise. You know what? If I get the full four and a half, those points could come in handy.
Yeah, I'm with you.
Well, let's look at the total in this game, guys, real quick. I think it's, what is it, 62? 60? I actually just had it up in my Wim Hill mobile app, just reverted back to something. So let me look up it real quick. But then I like the over in this game, guys. I don't want to – you know, just be sound like a square when it comes to some of this stuff. But, I mean, it's 60.
Well, Boise at home is it's just, you play the.
Well, it's 62.5 is the total. This is what BYU scored this year. 55, 48, 35, 27, 43, 52, 41. Looks like an over to me.
Yeah. You know, Boise's probably got the best defense that they're going to see. But I'm not going to bet against Boise getting points at home. With a good Boise, it's not like the Boise's taking a big step
even
back.
Even with the quarterback situation in Boise,
I think Josh is right. It might be 1A, 1B. That if I'm going to trust a team to have a couple quarterbacks to play, it'd be Boise.
Speaking of Nevada's 1B,
yeah, he's pretty tall,
6'9".
It is, yeah, he's a good golfer too. I heard.
Wow, go ahead, Josh.
That translates to the football.
Did you see that last night when he came and took some snaps at the end of the game? When Carson came out,
I didn't see that.
Yeah, 6'9".
All right,
big kid. Huge kid. Anyways, so
but yeah, Ken. So what do you think? So I'm just thinking the home dog thing is where I'm leaning, but you're just going over.
Yeah, I think I'm just going to play the over in this game. I'll tell you exactly what I have right now. I have San Diego State -9.5, and I have this game over. I just think that it's going to be. I just think they're going to be able to. It's a game where defense shouldn't be able to be played in this game, and I think one team's going to get 40. You know what? When this quarterback in Miami transferred out of Houston. I really thought he might go to Oklahoma with the Kyler Murray and the Jalen Hurts and the Baker Mayfield. And I thought, oh, this is perfect. And then I remember I was kind of disappointed that he went to Miami. I go, wow, we didn't get a shot at him. You know, but he's terrible.
You know, he's terrible. Well, here's what's funny, Ken. One, I remember what you're saying when he did that, when he sat out the last second last year to preserve his redshirt year.
He played his first few games.
Right,
he
cut off at the four-game limit, so he didn't get docked the eligibility. And Oklahoma, actually, you know, the odds that they give out for this sort of thing, they were the clear favorite. Well, it made sense. The guy seemed like maybe the next Jalen Hurts. He seemed to fit perfectly. But apparently, Rattler, you know, he was a redshirt freshman or whatever. Correct. He was already groomed, and they liked him, so it wasn't a sure thing. And then Miami had gone back and forth. The last couple of years, they seemed to be missing. Like, their quarterbacks were okay but not great, and they just kept benching one. You know, they have the same couple guys for a couple of years, Kosey Perry, the other guy. And they just never were happy, you know, with their production. So they thought, oh, King could go to Miami, which also had a lot of other playmakers coming back, and that they might have a really good team with him. But I agree with you. I thought the whole thing was a little overstated from the start, right? I didn't think he had quite the impact people expected.
I agree. I don't think that, you know, after watching this game,
he's
the game.
He's talented. He's fun to watch. He looks like a superstar in spurts, but the consistency is not there.
All right. Let's head off to our next commercial. Hey, actually, real quick, these last two games, Josh, you have a pick in these last two games? The San Diego State, 9.5. BYU, Boise State, BYU land 4.
Yeah, like State either. Probably pass on the first one, but the late game I'm going to give a shot with the Broncos and the points.
All right.
Broncos and over.
Broncos and over. I like it. All right, let's head off to our first commercial break. If we come back, we'll jump into the NFL on ESPN 94.5 FM.
Now, back to the William Hill Sports Show, live from the William Hill Sportsbook inside the Club Cal Neva.
All right, we're back here. I'm Kenny B, the host, with Josh Nagel from Sportsline, John the Hawk Stevens, independent handicapper. You can make sure that you can like our show on Facebook at Kenny B, ESPN Sports Handicapping, Kenny B, ESPN Sports Handicapping. We post all kinds of stuff there on there, especially a lot of our wagers, take a lot of our pictures of our tickets and post on there so you can see that we actually have skin in the game when it comes to a lot of this stuff. John posts a lot of different stuff, too. He likes to – John's really good at posting articles and things, you know, that are exciting for people to see.
I know whenever it's like a retro 76ers highlight film from like the 80s, I figure that's where it comes from.
Yeah. Yeah, I know.
Well – Or the Steelers jumping around in the locker room after a big win.
Yeah, that was something else. Yeah, listen, you guys can post whatever you want as well.
And we're just going to move forward. And Josh Nagel, you can get all his stuff at Sportsline, Josh. Why don't you give him all your stuff? All your opinions are actually out there to read.
No, thanks, Ken. But, yeah, it's part of the content on the site. And we do have, as you're aware, a partnership with William Hill. But it's pretty cool now since we're sort of official business partners because we're integrating them more all the time and getting to where you're working with each other's staff. So it's cool. So we're getting actually more videos from Nick Bogdanovich every week on our site, the lead odds maker, William Hill, who I know we both know on a personal basis. So it's just kind of cool to see that come to fruition because also if you go and you're checking the spreads or whatever, we're running the live William Hill odds on the site. So even if you're wondering what numbers have moved or whatever, and you bet with the William Hill, say the mobile app, it's going to be in sync with what we've got. So you don't have to worry about, oh, it's 7 here, but 7.5 there. It's going to match up. So it's cool that relationship keeps growing. And, yeah, what I've been doing for a while now, along with the people we have doing other sports, $10 a month for a full subscription, but it's also free stuff as well.
Yeah, absolutely. Sportsline. Sportsline.com. Josh Nagel and all his stuff. And there's a lot of opinions on there, too. So if you want to read the angles a lot of these professional handicappers have, that's where it's at.
Yeah. Sportsline. I know you follow some of the stuff that I don't even do too much, but you told me you've done decent in like our NASCAR props.
Well, I crushed NASCAR until the guy started posting it.
Right.
And I cross-reference the golf information I get with what you guys like. And then if I'm like on the fence, I say, okay, if you like, and so, yeah, no. Sports handicapping is all about information, and you're not going to win every bet. If you pick 52.3%, if you can pick over that, you can make a living doing this. And believe me, it's hard to do.
Exactly.
It is hard to do. And the hardest sport to beat in the world is the NFL.
You're right, Ken. And that's what people will take for granted. Like, believe me, I enjoy what I do and everything, but your struggles, your ups and downs, it's all out there for massive public consumption where it's like you click on my profile, whatever, be like your picks, menu of the picks I've had for the last month. And so if I've lost 4 or 5 in a row, which does happen, you all get to see it. It's like, I'm not like happy about that, but as you mentioned, I'm also pride myself on, consistency of information to the point where anyone who's followed me consistently, just if nothing else, they know I take it seriously and I usually come out with a pretty decent record.
Yeah, I think so too. So. And we bet both sides of the ball too. Dogs, favorites, overs, unders, prop bets, all kinds of stuff. We've got futures, matchups, everything. So all right, let's jump into the NFL. Seattle travels to Buffalo to play the Bills. Seattle laying 2.5. It opened at 2.5. That's what Nick opened this up. Actually, it's went to 3. So money coming in on Seattle right now. The total is 55.5. Seattle's 6-1 right now. Buffalo is 6-2. Josh Allen's been kind of having a rough go lately. But, we always talk about get better games, guys. And this is a get better situation for Josh Allen. Because this Seattle defense is exactly who you want to be facing right now. They're giving up 460 yards a game, 358 through the air. Josh, I think Josh has got 4 touchdowns and 4 picks his last few games, and I think this is a recipe for him to get back on track.
Yeah, I agree with that, Ken. But here's the thing. At first, the total struck me as a little bit high, and I still think it might be, even barely, by like half a point. I mean, seriously, I think 31-24 could be the thing. But I also wonder if there's a little bit let down from Seattle just because they've been playing really well, but they've been a ton of tight games, right? So you go from that crazy overtime game against the Cardinals, finally suffered their first defeat in a game, looked like they had in hand. Then another big division game last week with the Niners that they more or less got respectable at the end, but they more or less blew them out. And I just feel like, with the Bills kind of struggling lately as well, I think the formula is there for that bounce back, as you said. Like, I was going to say.
You got the over, so I'm giving you a touchdown.
No, that's cool. But I think the formula is there for the Bills to win this one.
Yeah.
I absolutely agree, Josh. John, go ahead.
Seahawks put up numbers. They're over 27 points every game. Over 31 in all but one game.
Yeah.
And I that's why I think that the total, I think it's right around where it should be. I think I'm going to bet it over. I do like the Bills in this spot here. The Seahawks, sure. Travel across the country a lot. That's not fun. That's not easy to do.
It's like their 4th Eastern time zone game already.
Yeah, that's not easy. And it's going to be another one of these barn burners. I'm sure all these Seahawks games seem to play that way. But I have a little lean to the Bills. I like it over.
And Seattle's out of running backs. I'm not sure the status of Chris Carson. It's a game time. So if they can't run the ball, they're going to be chunking the ball all around the yard. I wouldn't be too worried about the weather. Going back to the total in this game, I wouldn't be too worried about the weather because both of these teams – are used to playing in the elements.
Sure.
So I would kind of not have so much emphasis.
Elements are a little rougher in Buffalo.
Sure, but I mean, it's cold and windy and wet right. in Seattle, and you know, and they're gamers. You know, you kind of made my. I'm gonna have to look at that. I'm gonna have to go handicap that, Josh or John, because you kind of made me think about that. And Josh, I agree with you. I initially looked at the 55 and a half and thought that's a little bit too high. It's moved down half a point, so a little bit of money come in on the under. But I think this is a winnable game for Buffalo. And now that it's went over the key number or gotten to the key number of three, I'll be looking to take Buffalo at home in a situation, maybe even sprinkling some money line wages on this, because this is certainly a game that Buffalo can win. I mean,
easily.
I mean, what's wrong with Buffalo? I mean, they're 6-2 in the East, but they got a 2-game lead over the second place Dolphins. Yep. You know, you look at Seattle, 6-1 with a 1-game lead over Arizona. I mean, there's no reason that the Buffalo can't win this game. There's other spots where I'd want to take a road favorite. This isn't the one.
Right. Exactly. Even though Seattle's a pretty trusted road team, I agree. It's just a bad spot all the way around.
Atlanta at home versus the Denver Broncos. Atlanta 2-6, very easily with a few breaks. Could be, heck, I don't know, guys. I mean, what can Atlanta be right now?
Well,
4-4?
At least three.
4-4, maybe?
Yeah.
I mean, okay, 5-3. If they weren't so far behind,
Super Bowl champions.
Well, if they weren't so far behind in the NFC South, you know, they're 4 games behind Tampa Bay.
Yeah, that's rough.
I would maybe look at a future here to say, what if they squeak into the playoffs? And what if, I mean, and turn things around? But I think they're just too far out. But you look at them right now. They're at home. This opened at 3.5. All the money's coming in on Atlanta. I've seen 4. I've seen 4.5. It's up to 4. The totals came down half a point. I have no interest in betting any Atlanta games under. It'd probably be an over or a pass on the total. But once again, 3.5, 4, 4.5. I have no interest. This Broncos team is a scrappy team right here, and it's probably a pass for me on this game.
I agree. And Denver is scrappy. The only thing I would think that comeback against the Chargers last week was a pretty big deal for them. It was weird about Denver, too, is I've had a tough time pegging them, but they actually do have a lot of talent, young on both sides. It's just unhealthy with all the injuries. They can't, you know, keep the guys on the field. Some weeks they have, like, nobody – the playmakers on offense, you know, they're available. Suddenly those guys start coming back. You know, Drew Locke and the running backs, Hamler, good rookie from Penn State, or will be. And so suddenly they're getting a little healthy on offense and all their top defensive guys are out. It's like if they could actually get all their personnel on the field, I don't think they'd be bad. But given what we've seen out of Atlanta, finally breaking through, you know, with a road victory, because of that Denver letdown angle, I would say Falcons, but not a strong play.
Well, you just mentioned the road victory at home. Falcons are 0-4 against the spread and straight up.
Wow.
So, I mean, they just don't play well down there. I don't know what it is.
All like losing 14-point leads at least, right?
Yeah.
They had the Bears down 20 or whatever.
Exactly. Yeah. And I don't exactly trust the Broncos, but I say the Broncos win the game outright.
Wow.
Bam.
There you go. I mean, would you be surprised?
I wouldn't be surprised at all. That's why I said it.
So, I mean, I can see that point, especially now that it's gotten up to the 3.5. I mean, it's a 4. If it gets to 4.5. If it gets to 4.5, it's definitely a dog take here.
No doubt about it.
All right. Titans at home. Nick opened up at 5.5, a full point move towards the Titans. They're playing the Bears. I'm not sure I understand this move. 5.5 to 6.5. The total's at 46.5. Chicago 5-3. They've been kind of reeling a little bit after a really, really hot start. Tennessee 5-2. Coming off some pretty emotional games there in Tennessee, though. Josh, what do you think about this game?
Yeah, it is a tough one because you're right. As the season goes on, Chicago's hot starts looking more and more kind of like a mirage. And yet, it's sort of a rough angle on both sides. Because you mentioned with the Titans, I felt the same way. Yeah, you know, when they started out hot, like they're kind of playing above their ceiling. They're likely to come back to earth, and it looks like they've done just that. So if you figure one of them is kind of due to break out of that funk, you know what? It's right there. I mean, you know what? I would say the Bears, but barely. What do you guys think about this? Funny, right? Because they played well enough, at least on defense, to beat the Saints last week. Suddenly the offense just completely sputters out and ended up, you know, pretty much costing them. I still think they got the wrong guy. I mean, choosing between two marginal.
Trubisky and Foles?
Yeah, I think Trubisky is clearly the better choice now, not just because Foles is failing, but they're basically the same guy, but Trubisky has wheels. That's the difference. I mean, seriously, Foles is a little long in the tooth now. Like, you know, Trubisky can really run. One, they can do some of the designed run plays Nagy used to have in there for him, and he can just make something out of nothing. With Foles, though, you saw late in the game against the Saints and overtime where things broke down. There wasn't much he could do, but he was the type who goes right to the tiptoe of the line of scrimmage and throws it somewhere. Trubisky can run for the yardage. I just say you eat your pride and go back to him.
Yeah, I mean, they invested a lot. They passed on a lot to draft Trubisky, as we know. But these are two teams I don't understand. I can never get a handle on. Titans at home, maybe they can run the ball if you can establish that run game and let Tannehill go back, because Taddy looked dynamite there. If you can get him getting going, AJ Brown, that's a pretty decent team as far as it goes. And speaking of Tides at home, that stadium's really close to downtown Broadway where we were. We couldn't believe how close it was. But yeah, I'll take the Titans.
Which we noticed on the top floor of Kid Rock's
Honky Tonk. But give me the Titans. I think that they reestablished themselves as one of the, not the elite teams in the AFC, but one of the top tier.
You know, the Chicago defense has kind of fallen in the rankings lately. They're down to number 12. They're giving up 348 in total yards, but they're giving up 120 yards on the ground. I mean, I tell you what, Derrick Henry pounding on you, that takes its toll.
It does. If you make that jump out early, make them throw like the Steelers did a couple weeks ago, I think that's the key to beating that team. If not, you're dead.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and they've proven sometimes the Titans, if the few teams that have taken Henry away, and only I think the Broncos in week one did like an okay job on him, but by and large, though, he's still running, mowing over the league. Just looks like a man among boys out there when he's carrying the ball. And what do you guys think? I just want to give a shout-out to Derrick Henry for the contract he took at the start of this year, because do you know how much of a – like basic sacrifice he took compared to market value.
I think he's an all-around good guy.
Do you know what it is?
He's
but I just mentioned the numbers. I think it's just crazy because, one, they're talking about franchising him, and he's aware of some things, right? Market value for the running backs. Like, he didn't want to be the next Le'Veon Bell or whoever who begs for the money, or Melvin Gordon doesn't get it and then has to sit out. But they made him what was a pretty cheap offer, but then there's the idea with no fans that the budgets might be cut or whatever. But long story short, so before the season, he says, you know what, I don't want to risk this. I still want to – you know, be a key part of the team, even though it's kind of a low-ball offer. So he took $50 million over 4 years. So I'll just give you some perspective. You think that's not overall that bad, right, with about half guaranteed. For the guy who led the league with yards and touchdowns last year, so statistically the best running back in the league, you know, so you're wondering, well, what else is out there? But so the franchise tag, which he could have taken and guaranteed money and all that, but he goes ahead and signs it. So $50 million with half of it guaranteed, and he shows up because he wants to be part of the team and do the work. Right before the season starts, Dalvin Cook gets almost double that.
Yeah.
Dalvin Cook gets 90, and Alvin Kamara gets like 88. I mean, so think about it. It's almost double. And so, of course, their bonuses or their guarantees are almost double what Derrick Henry got. So what a bargain. So I think the Titans, if you're going to get a guy who can be that selfless and take that cheap money, sign enough players to have a good team.
One thing, we have to go off the commercial break, but one thing I want to throw in a stat that I saw. Do you guys know who the number one offensive team in the NFL is?
Seattle.
No, it's actually Arizona. 419 yards.
Yardage.
Okay. But then you think about Kansas City, right? They're 410. Tennessee, 407. They're only averaging 3 yards less per game than a lot of the average bettors are going to look and say it's Kansas City, which that's what they believe. Only 3 yards more a game, Tennessee. I've talked myself into Tennessee. I think Chicago's in a world of hurt. I think you probably see a quarterback change in Chicago after this game. They got to go back to Trubisky, like you said, Josh.
Well, Trubisky got hurt, didn't he? Is he back? He played one play and got hurt on Sunday.
Oh,
did he get hurt? I know they let him do the read option thing one time. I didn't think he got hurt.
I don't know if it's serious.
I thought it was just a gimmick to.
I haven't heard that yet. All right, let's head off for our next commercial break. We'll be back after these messages on ESPN 94.5 FM.
Now, back to the William Hill Sports Show, live from the William Hill Sportsbook inside the Club Cal Neva.
Welcome back to the William Hill Sports Show here at the ESPN Studios with Josh Nagel from Sportsline, John the Hawk Stevens, independent handicapper, happy world traveler, fan of Nashville, whiskey.
You're correct on all this stuff. And I was hellbound for a little while there, but I recovered.
Yeah, and congratulations to our buddy Kyle Backlund and Tanya
Marini. Backlund. Yeah, Marini Backlund now.
Awesome. Appreciate those guys having us in Seattle. And how about Tony Marini getting us an invite? Well, I'm sorry.
Dude. Yeah.
But to John Pardee's house. Hey, you guys want to go to John Pardee's house and have some drinks? Yep.
Yeah,
sure do.
There you go.
So I got to partake in that. So, anyways, congratulations to Mr. and Mrs. Backlund. And thanks for having us. And Tennessee's going to be an annual trip, Josh, so I'm just going to let you know, at least one time a year, you're going to find somebody to sit in for John and I.
Okay.
Or we can just take the show on the road.
Yeah, if we can figure out how to do that. Minnesota at home versus Detroit. Let me get my notes here. I just sat back down. 4.5. Is this? I didn't see anything on the William Hill mobile app a little bit earlier, so I'm not exactly sure where this stands right now. But Minnesota is 4.5 at home with a total of 52.5. It's probably because of the status of Matthew Stafford. Josh.
That's right, and obviously he's a huge loss. You know, the Lions have actually been playing pretty well lately in that spot, and I don't think I could back them without him because obviously hugely important player. So, yeah, it'd probably be favorite or pass, but not a real strong play either way.
Dalvin Cook likes to run for lots of yardage. Detroit's giving up 130 on the ground, John.
That's a recipe for disaster there, but, you know, without Stafford, the knowledge of Stafford can't really – make any decision or play on this. Not that I even know if I would anyway.
So if Stafford's out, division. Nick used this line at 4.5 with the assumption that Matthew Stafford is going to play. So if he doesn't play, what do you think it goes to? Six and a half?
I would have to think that, yeah. Yeah. Absolutely. I just can't. It's weird. I hate Big Ten football, and I hate this division. I just put those two and two together. It's the same area.
All right.
Same region. I'm not down.
All right, so we'll stick around, and we'll hopefully have some information on that for you a little bit later. Baltimore 5-2 versus Indianapolis 5-2. Indianapolis at home right now. The Ravens. It opened up as the Ravens -2.5, and has actually gotten is down to a pick'em. So Colts traveling to Indy. Total is 47.5. A full point move to the over to 48. John, I'm going to lob this one up to you because you. Are a man that totally understands the AFC North.
I do, and with that being said, to steal your line, I think the Ravens blow their doors off. I think they're not a happy bunch right now. Clearly the better team. We're going Lamar Jackson versus Phillip Rivers here. That's a huge check mark on the side of Lamar Jackson. As much as he hasn't been playing the way that he played last year, I'll give you that. But a Ravens team pissed off, playing defense, going into Baltimore, it's fine. It's fine. And I love the Ravens here. Down to a pick 'em, come on.
Josh?
I think so as well, which is interesting.
I hope the Colts beat them.
You mean being a Steeler fan?
Yeah.
The spread sort of moved the opposite way than I expected. And you're right, Ken. I saw, think a flat 3 might open. But the Ravens, you know, 2.5, 3-point favorite, and it just keeps slowly moving to the point where earlier today I actually saw the Ravens +1. Oh. So for some reason people are coming in hard on the Colts, which – yeah, I mean, I see they are improved this year. I guess I can see it, but I do think they're a little over, you know, valued in this spread and whatnot. But I feel the same way. I feel like Baltimore, maybe not, you know, if they'd beaten the Steelers, maybe they'd be a play against here. But they're going to feel like they let that game get away, which they kind of did. And I feel they are, and they've been solid under John Harbaugh on the road. I feel like they are the play situationally.
All right. Kansas City at home versus Carolina. The number that Nick used was 10.5. Kansas City 7-1 on the year. Carolina 3-5. This is the return of Christian McCaffrey.
Yeah, and you know what, Ken? I did some research earlier today, and I saw that they actually average about 70 yards more per game with McCaffrey in there. Not surprising. He's the best dual threat guy in the league. So such a lethal threat. You know, the backfield. You line him up in the slot. You can do whatever. But you know, it's funny though, but they start being more productive without him. So they get more yardage when he's in there, but they've scored more points and been more efficient because, face it, without it, they have kind of a journeyman, Mike Davis, although he's played well. But still, you know, kind of limited in the background. And it's shown when you've got to throw it a little more, not just do. I feel like it's easy to fall into a rut when you've got McCaffrey. You run him on first and second, then you're throwing it, you know, on 3rd and 6 if nothing worked. But what we saw even a little early in the year, though, is some of the diverse weapons they have, where it's a nice – I mean, like Robbie Anderson, who's like, you know, the sure-handed guy, but DJ Moore is kind of the explosion guy. And with some time, Teddy can get them the ball. So they've been diverse in offense. So my point being, Ken, if they can somehow mix McCaffrey in there and not disrupt the flow they've been having, I think they'll be all right.
It's a nice addition to have at this time of year.
Exactly.
Sure.
I mean, the guy who's by far your best player, and you've been winning without him. So now find a way to fit him in the right way.
He'll fit in. And I like it over. I try to make a case for the Panthers. I just can't. Betting against the Chiefs is no way to get rich. But I do like it over. I'm going to bet this game over.
Kansas City on the year, what did they score? They've scored 253 points this year. They've given up 152. Carolina scored 179. They've given up 193. That's a lot of yards. I just think that – I think Kansas City kind of got into a little bit of a lull earlier in the year. The one thing that concerns me about this is they've already got a three-game lead over the Raiders in the AFC West. You know, so it's 7-1. Where's the urgency? And you know, and when you're laying this many points, when you're laying, you know, 10.5 points, or probably 11 or 12 before game time, because everybody's gonna pile in on the Kansas City at home right here.
Right.
You know, that concerns me a little bit. I'd probably be more inclined to move Kansas City in a teaser below 3 or right around there. I'd be a little bit more comfortable with that because I think Kansas City's going to win the game.
No, I got what you're saying, Ken. And also, though, as the public pushes this up, which I agree they probably will, if I could get the full 11.5, say, on game day, I would find that appealing only because, as you mentioned, one, it'll be a strong, you know, fade the public type situation. But you realize with Kansas City, and this is weird over the last couple of years, their one loss was as to the Raiders as a home chalk in the same, you know, area, like 11 to 13 points, depending on what number you got. And for some reason, it's just bizarre. The last couple of years when they struggle, it seems at home. Remember last year,
yeah, at
one point, Kansas City lost 3 in a row at home. So maybe that's where they have the letdowns. And so to me, there'd be some appeal on the dog with a little bit juicier number.
Yeah, no, you're exactly. I might have a play on the Panthers now that you brought that up, because that is a good point. But I just like it over.
All right, John, I'm gonna this is the game of the week next week or this week. Houston 6-1-6 versus Jacksonville 1-6. What do you got there, buddy? And Gardner Minshew, what's his status?
Minshew's out.
Yeah, no, I'm just. It's a doozer.
It is horrible. I don't know. Texans.
Yeah, and what's funny is the.
They're still talented.
Jags are starting a rookie who I didn't even know they'd taken, Jake Luton, who had been at Oregon State, who's a strong armed guy, but I feel like he's in a bad spot to make, you know, his NFL debut because. Obviously no experience going up against a better team, and even Minshew. You know, at full strength, wasn't playing all that well. So
this is the way I see this game, guys. I'm gonna let you in on a little secret. All right, Texans are laying 6.5, or they were laying 6.5, went up to 7. The total in this game is 50.5. They have the 30th and 31st worst ranked defenses in the NFL. When you get these bad teams playing and stuff like that, and you get bad defenses involved, just bet the dadgum game over. Yeah. I mean, seriously, this there's no reason it shouldn't be a 38-35 game.
And when Kent says dad gum, he's serious.
Houston's giving up 417 yards a game. Jacksonville, 424 yards a game. 165 on the ground for Houston and 142 on the ground for Jacksonville. So you can run or pass. It makes no difference.
Well, they're combined 2-12, right?
Yeah.
There's a reason for
your
that.
Math is fantastic. It's on point tonight.
You know what's interesting, John? I'm sure you followed with the because I know you're a Colorado fan, but with – meaning college, I'm talking about Laviska Shenault, the rookie receiver, who's great. Here's what I don't understand about the Jags, where it looks like if he's given, you know, time and stuff, Minshew can be effective, he's got a clean pocket. But what strikes me as bizarre is I think they have a decent receiving core, but yet they can't figure out who should be number one. So sometimes he wants to go to DJ, you know, Shark, and there's Chris Conley, who's kind of a speedster. But I just feel like if they were smart, and I've seen this do this a couple of times, they should get the ball to Shenault, because he reminds me of like the Percy Harvin type. Like you run that reverse, but he's got like the power and the speed. And I saw them do it in one game. I saw them run, like, you know, reverse where he got it. I haven't seen them do it again, but then when I see the kids getting like 2 touches a game, I'm like, I just wonder.
Doesn't make much sense. I'm completely with it. You can use them like the Steelers use Claypool, for example.
Yeah, exactly. So I think so far, at least, they're underusing him. And I also wonder why, you know, given the weapons they have and the somewhat limited running game, why they're not putting up bigger offensive numbers.
Because they're the Jaguars.
Pretty much.
Next game, pretty interesting game, too. The Giants travel to Washington. Giants 1-7. Washington 2-5. You know, I was listening to a lot of stuff on VSiN today, and they were looking. You could have got Washington at 40-1, I believe, a couple of weeks ago to win the NFC East.
Really?
And here they are right now, 2-3, one game out of it, and they're laying points this week. You know, at home, it's opened at 3.5, down to 2.5, but. What's wrong with that? I'm going to look it up right now.
What's funny is, Ken, you're right. At this point in time, they're probably the second best team, right?
Maybe.
So say the most talent and the team that's probably going to pull away would be Philadelphia. But when you look at, okay, the Cowboys crippled by the quarterback injuries, and the Giants, who we've seen, are just actually fairly competitive but can't seem to get over the top and win these games. I mean, Washington at times, you know, has looked pretty decent. But Are they still going? You said they're going with Kyle Allen at quarterback, or it's not Alex Smith, right?
Boy.
But you know, here's what's funny is here's the matchup of like the sort of bust quarterbacks who would not be playing. So because you know Daniel Jones, I feel bad for too, by the way, because he's not like a guy. Yeah. You know, it wasn't his fault that he got drafted sixth, and everyone's giving him a hard time. Thrust in the situation with a terrible, you know, offensive line, no weapons, Saquon Barkley, and again, that's another team with a bunch of like number two receivers, right? Because I feel like, you know, Shepard and the other guys are okay, but none of them are game breakers. So I feel like he's sort of doing okay. But here's what's funny, Ken. So if you criticize the Giants for taking Daniel Jones, the option in that situation was Dwayne Haskins, who may be a worse bust already. Yeah. Ron Rivera saying may never play again, who's actually doing all right, but they say they have a horrible attitude. I don't know if you guys heard the story, but what happened after they lost, the reason he's not playing, they lost to the Ravens at home pretty bad, but right at the end there's a bunch of garbage time, you know, yards or whatever, and he ended up getting over 300 yards. And they said in the locker room he was heard bragging in a phone call to like a friend of how happy he was to get 300 yards and not really bothered by losing. Apparently word got around, so Ron Rivera's just like, yeah, we need someone with a winning attitude. So he may never see the field again. So that was your quarterback class. So it's like, you know, what are you going to do with that? Kyle Allen, you know, Rivera obviously must like him because when Cam went down, he played him most of the year, and he was unimpressive. So I wouldn't know what to do in this game.
Right now, JD, Washington's plus 260 to win it. Plus 260. Can you imagine that?
Well, is anybody going to win it?
Well, the Eagles are minus 240, I think.
Give their bid to, man, like the NFC South or something?
Somebody in the playoffs is going to get a serious bye in week one.
Yeah, honestly. And getting back to Haskins and Jones, you don't have to take it. Unless you are convinced, and I know the fans want you to take the quarterback, you don't have to do it.
No, I agree, John, but don't you think that the Giants were under pressure? But I still think they made the right call taking Saquon instead of Darnold, of course, or any of the guys that came after him.
He's had some couple freak injuries and stuff, and Danny Dimes has all the tools, and he's got everything necessary, but I don't know. Unless you are absolutely convinced, take a tackle, take someone on defense.
Absolutely. You know, and we're going to talk about that a little bit later when we get to the Dolphins game. But you almost have – when you invest in a first-rounder, I mean a high first-rounder, you need to be pretty sure about it.
Yeah.
And you know what? They should do more designed runs for him. He's clearly a very good athlete. You just said the one 80-yard thing where everyone laughed because he fell on his face 10 yards short. But they said in the middle of that run, he got faster than Lamar Jackson has ever been.
Yeah,
that's they go
side by
run.
Side. So Daniel Jones is the fastest guy in the league, which is crazy. But he did that kind of thing at Duke. Like, run the read option with him. Do whatever you can to move the ball.
I agree. So when we come back, I'm gonna press you guys for picks on this game. But right now we have to go off to traffic. Be back after these messages. ESPN 94.5 FM.
Now, back to the William Hill Sports Show, live from the William Hill Sportsbook inside the Club Cal Neva.
Welcome back to the William Hill Sports Show, here with Josh Nagel from Sportsline, John the Hawk Stevens, and I'm your host, Kenny B, running down this NFL card right now. All right, first game on Sunday, first late game, 105, Chargers at home versus the Nevada Raiders. Chargers opened up a small favorite, half point. It's actually moved to a flat pick across the board. So, you know, I kind of like what I see from both of these teams. You know, the Raiders, they're 4-3 right now, you know, three games behind. But, you know, they're right there. They're fighting for a wild card. You know, it looks like the wild card in the wild card race right now in the AFC East, you have Miami with 4 wins. In the AFC North, you have Baltimore with 5 wins, the Colts with 5 wins. And then you have the Raiders right there, you know, trying to get into the playoffs, you know. And this is a big game for the Raiders. You know, the Chargers 2-5, ever since they've, it's really unfortunate what happened to Tyrod Taylor and the way that Herbert got on the field. But I can tell you guys what, I'm impressed with what the kid's doing. I didn't think he was going to be as good as he is. This kid is lighting up the field. He might throw the best ball in the NFL.
Yeah, I agree. And you know what's funny, Ken? I'm just curious why people soured on him. Because you remember, he came back for a senior year at Oregon, led them to the Pac-12 championship. And he didn't need to. He was rumored to be the number one pick. So that's stunning. Like, he could have come out after his junior year and maybe been the top overall pick, which went to Kyler Murray. But before Murray came on the scene, you know, it would have been like a debate which one you take. That seemed like a senior year. His pro stock seemed to drop a little. And then you heard all that stuff about how, apparently, you know, he's just on the quiet side and they didn't know if he'd be a great leader. But I always thought the physical talent was there. So even though he got to play sooner than expected, and I'll tell you, Ken, as much as I watched the kid throughout his whole Oregon career, I never realized, you know, his arm. I just knew he had the athleticism and everything. It was such a cannon. He was so accurate. So he was pro ready from the day one, apparently. So that's great.
I think it's
great.
Because the Oregon receivers were so wide open, Josh,
yeah,
that he just made sure he didn't miss the throw.
Right.
But now
right,
you realize that the windows have gotten tighter in the NFL. Right. So he has to step into it, and he's got it.
Exactly. And you remember that Rose Bowl, though, when they were down, they got back with him, and it was running.
Yeah.
Wisconsin D'd up, and Herbert, that's where you saw his athleticism. He,
yeah,
he had a couple rushing touchdowns, including the game winner. So he's got the grit, too. So it's like, well, so you never know. Sometimes, you know, someone's quiet or whatever, and they hold it against them. So I'm glad to see it with him, but Ken, I'd just be worried. And the Raiders, by the way, wow, what a win in Cleveland when they just given up 45 to the Buccaneers. It's not looking good. The last thing you expect them to be able to do is win a game on the defensive side. So that was nice to see. But
well, that's Cleveland.
And through the elements.
Right. Yeah. But the concern with the Chargers to me is just that they melt. Like John and I mentioned it a little bit before the show. What did I think they have four straight losses with leads of 14 points or greater. The fact that they couldn't finish off Denver last week, it's just concerning because now it appears to be there's sort of that doomsday mentality. They get up and it has to be some sort of psychological block now.
I'm going to have the Raiders in this game, John. I've already decided. I mean, like,
yeah,
I said, you know, the Raiders, you know, you got the Chargers trying to figure things out a little bit. You got the Raiders actually trying to fight for a playoff spot. You know, they're set number two in the AFC West. The Chargers are in last place, 2-5 versus 4-3, and they can't let this one get away. If I can get the Raiders in a spot here just to win the game, that's where my money's going.
Yeah, that's the thing. As good as Herbert's looked, he's got to start getting some W's out there and you know, playing against a Clark County team that is fighting for a playoff spot. It looks like a good spot for the Raiders, but I think the Chargers win this game. I like the Chargers here. I like the Chargers to win a close game, but to pull it out in the end after the Raiders came off that barn burner with the Browns.
So I have a question. Do you like the Raiders to win the game or the Chargers to lose the game?
I like the Chargers to win the game.
Excuse me. Okay, so do you like Do you like the Chargers to win the game or the Raiders to lose the game? Find a way to lose.
Yes.
You see what I'm saying, though? I mean,
I know what you're saying.
Are the Chargers going to win a dominant performance, or are the Raiders going to figure out a way to give it to them?
I think the Chargers are going to figure it out on their own, and the Raiders aren't necessarily going to give it to them.
All right, good deal.
I think Herbert's going to be the difference.
All right. Next game, did you have any parting shots?
No, it's just funny. Like I said, to me, it's an intriguing, you know, you could make an argument for either side, and it's just bizarre. Like, the Chargers do have, you know, the talent, overall talent edge for sure, but I just can't trust based on what's going on, and yet wouldn't it surprise me to see the Raiders, you know, be erratic as well and that end up coming up short. So nothing would surprise me in that game.
All right. I'm gonna toss this one up to John real quick. This is
Your team's in it too.
Well, no, my team's we're in the Lawrence sweepstakes right now.
Yeah, no kidding.
But we're also a game out of the division lead
exactly,
too. But Pittsburgh going on the road to Dallas, laying 14 points, John.
Yeah, a game that was probably going to go to before all this stuff happened, but I don't know. That's a lot of points. It's the Steelers are coming off an emotional win, obviously against the Ravens, and flying halfway across the country. I know the Cowboys are the Cowboys.
I have one concern in this game, yeah. John. Who does Pittsburgh play next week? The following week.
I forget.
They're on a bye.
No, their bye was taken away from them by COVID.
Right. Well, here we go, guys. Before Dak got hurt. 40, 38, 40, 37. Dak got hurt. 10, 3, 9. It's Pittsburgh D. They're pretty good at defense, aren't they, John?
They're pretty good at pretty much everything, Ken.
I'm reading reports that Zeke has kind of a hamstring tingle, so they don't know how much Zeke's going to be in.
Bengals on deck.
So Cincinnati
home.
On deck?
Yeah.
All right. Well, this guys, here's the deal.
To the Jaguars.
If Pittsburgh gets 24 points, they cover the 14. That's it. Yeah. Going against the Dallas defense, guys, that's – where's my defensive numbers here? Golly, you guys.
The only fear is the letdown from these Ravens games. Usually take a lot out of them, but their injury report was pretty clean.
Can you guys run the ball?
Yeah.
Dallas gets up 170 yards a game on the ground. 170 on the ground.
Yeah.
Pittsburg.
One of my H.
Best. I'm the Pittsburgh.
You're John Facenda now?
Yeah. So
the Pittsburgh Steelers. I'm
Steelers all the way. Don't second guess it. Don't try and get cute. They're undermanned. The team is, and how often do I talk this passion? I'm always right about the Cowboys. This team is not mentally engaged in this season.
Yeah.
It's over.
I hear you, Ken.
And I'm a Cowboys fan, listeners. So if you're out there cussing me because I'm cussing the Cowboys, I'm the biggest Cowboy fan you'll find. And John, you're right. If this game would have been under different circumstances, we probably would be in Dallas this weekend.
But almost 100%.
Dallas. I can't say enough. Dallas can get killed.
Well, see, Ken, but I just thought it was funny when you mentioned the school of thought and don't get too cute with it, because, of course, that's exactly what I intend to do with it. I'm like 14 and a half points, and John mentioned they just beat their biggest rival in a back-and-forth tough game.
I got you.
In the rain, is there this mental letdown? It's kind of funny, though, because with the guys you least expect, they're so out of quarterbacks. There's like Garrett Gilbert off the practice squad. And just watch. Just with Garrett Gilbert steps in there, 300 yards. Yeah, and it's a one-score game. I just feel like I'm going with the principle of home dog with 14 points, they almost always cover.
It's
right?
They're only a game out of
with
play.
Their starters. They don't have their offensive lines out. Zeke's hurt. We're down to our fifth quarterback.
I know. Wasn't it crazy? Ken, was it just a couple years ago?
Not to mention that we couldn't play defense.
Defensive teams in the league.
That is kind of amazing.
And the Cowboys and lost two Super Bowls to the Steelers.
Yeah. So
that's right. It's a revenge game.
Last three games, Dallas
Super Bowl 10 points, and 13.
3 points, 9 points. No chance.
But don't you think, Ken, were you surprised at how long Dallas competed with Philadelphia? They should have covered
that
one.
It's the Eagles.
That's a ridiculous non-fumble touchdown.
And Philadelphia almost covered the 14.
Right.
23-9. So, anyways, I just think it's a – if you guys are looking to back the Cowboys in this spot, good luck. You're going to have to find a Steeler team that's absolutely flat. For some reason, flat. And teams don't get flat and go into Dallas. That's just too big of a stage. I mean, it's not like, respectfully, like last week, or like you're going to Cleveland or Cincinnati. Yeah. No disrespect to those fans.
Disrespect those fans.
But you see what I'm saying, John? I mean, it's just, we're going to Dallas, and we're going to let the world know who America's team is.
Right.
I mean, I'm a Cowboys fan, listeners, so. Anyways, that's where my cash is going. Cardinals at home versus the Miami Dolphins. Cardinals opened as a 5.5-point favorite. Down a full point move to Miami, down to 4.5, a total of 48.5. We talked about the draft picks. I'm hearing grumblings right now. This Miami team, they're 4-3, guys. They're right there in the playoff hunt. They made the quarterback change. Miami gets the win last week somehow because the defense, not because Tua.
Right.
I mean, but Tua, but – and. Fitzpatrick was leading this team. Fitzpatrick he's the guy that should be quarterbacking, but they're questioning Tua now. They need to find out if they need to draft a quarterback this year, which is going back to what you were saying, John, earlier about your conversation. If you're going to draft a quarterback in the first 5 or 6 picks, you better dadgum be sure that he's the man. This guy's not going to be in the NFL in the next 3 years.
And Tua?
I don't think so.
I think they're pretty sure of him by sitting Fitz down. It's not like he's not Dan Marino, but he was still playing well.
I'm just telling you what I'm reading.
No, I get it, but he's not putting up numbers like Kyler Murray, certainly. And I think that's the difference here. I think the Dolphins are a good team. I think the Cardinals are a good team.
I think the Dolphins are a good team with Fitz.
I'd probably take the Dolphins if this exact point spread. But
with Fitz, I would. Yeah, absolutely. You got me there.
But you're right. I mean, the Dolphins won that game on special teams and defense and everything last week, and Tua just did enough to not give it away, basically. So, and this is in Phoenix or Glendale?
Yeah.
Yeah, I like the Cardinals.
Arizona, number one ranked offense in the NFL. We touched upon that, Josh, 419 yards. Miami, on the offensive side of the ball, after last week, they're down to 324 yards a game.
I mean,
and you just – it's crazy where we're at with this and trying to overthink this.
Well, Ken, it's funny you mention Miami because, right, the Tua first start was so hyped. Everyone wanted to see it, and I was curious as well. And it's kind of funny how he ended up being just such a side note because suddenly Miami comes out with a kickoff return TD and a 90-yard fumble return.
Fumble.
Right, they're scoring on every method possible except offense.
Yeah.
And then finally Tua did do the one thing. He got the one short touchdown. But if you look, they didn't throw it. It was like 93 yards or something. And you didn't get to – basically, they were on the field so minimally, you didn't even get to see how his talent looked against the NFL defense for
a full-length
game.
I was just going to allude to that point too, Josh. Right. I mean, the game was they were so far ahead because of other aspects of the game.
Right.
The defensive touchdowns, the special team touchdowns. They were just handing the ball off to run the clock.
Exactly. They didn't even need to do anything offensively. So it was not a pure –
Let's not forget Miami – Miles Gaskin's out too. He's on IR.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Solid.
Yeah.
Yeah. Gaskin no, their running solid. Backs.
So now
it'd be
Breida. Who would probably get the bulk of the carries, but they still got some guys. Every time you watch them, that's what I thought was cool. The guys that might benefit the most, though, I thought would be a guy like Devontae Parker, who's a true number one.
Yeah.
Don't get me wrong, Fitzpatrick's all right, but I think he needs a a strong arm guy who's always going to look for him. I just expected him, like Mike Gesicki, I just expected the Dolphins playmakers to start seeing more touches if Tua is as accurate as we're led to believe. The timing of the change, of course, was still bizarre because, like you mentioned, why would you? But you know, the funny thing with Fitzpatrick, he's done this everywhere. When Jameis was benched and he comes in there and he's all world for three or four games, Fitzpatrick always falls off eventually.
Well, he has three great games and then a really doozy in a bad spot.
Right, with like four picks and he kills somebody. Right.
Against a bad team.
Right.
Yeah, so I see what you're saying. This is in this situation, it's Cardinals for me, guys. It really is.
Did you see what the total was again?
I got it right here.
Because I actually kind of think it might be an over just because
It's short. I mean, for this year, by this year's average total, 48.5.
Yeah, I kind of like it over because I do think both teams will be able to get some scoring against each other.
All right.
Cardinals.
I like Cardinals. All you day. Like the over?
Yeah, exactly.
All right. Let's head off for our last commercial break. When we come back, we'll finish with the NFL, get through some college, and wrap up the show on ESPN 94.5 FM.
Now, back to the William Hill Sports Show, live from the William Hill Sportsbook inside the Club Cal Neva.
Welcome back to the last segment of the William Hill Sports Show, running through this NFL card. I'm here with Josh Nagel from Sportsline. You can get all Josh's stuff on sportsline.com. John the Hawk Stevens, independent handicapper. We're going to give out our best bets at the end of the show. We're going to post them on our Facebook page at Kenny B, ESPN Sports Handicapping. Kenny B, ESPN Sports Handicapping. Two more games left in the NFL to get through. Tampa Bay at home versus the Saints. Total is 51.5 in this, and it actually moved a full point to the under, so it's down to 50.5. Tampa Bay opened up as a 5.5-point favorite with a full 1-point move towards the Saints, so it's down to 4.5. These teams played earlier this year, and the Saints got the victory now. Now we got the Tom Brady-Drew Brees rematch, Josh.
Yeah, and Ken, it's funny. I think I like the Bucs a little bit just because you mentioned, sort of – just sort of a payback spot. But if you remember that game, it was interesting because Brady played poorly. Remember, he had the pick six, and the Bucs were just kind of out of sync the whole game, and the Saints didn't really do much. They actually weren't very great in offense, but the Bucs just kind of self-destructed, and the Saints pulled away. I feel like at this point in time, especially with all those still key injuries for New Orleans on the offensive side, and they just went to overtime to sneak out a win against the Bears, I feel like this one sets up to be in the Bucs' favor.
I do too, totally. I love the Buccaneers here. Saints just aren't the Saints. They don't look the same way that they had. They don't have that same look to me, especially defensively. Primetime game, Tom Brady. I know it's Drew Brees as well, but
revenge.
Yeah, and I just think Brady's playing at a different level still than Brees is. I like the Buccaneers here.
And he's got all of his weapons.
And Antonio Brown.
I was going there. He's got all of his weapons at his disposal.
I'm gonna root for AB again. I picked him up in fantasy. Yeah.
He's got Antonio Brown coming up. And not to mention, Drew Brees has missed a couple of practices this week because he has a sore shoulder. And then what's the status on Michael Thomas? I know that he's going to – I think
day-to-day.
Day-to-day. But even if he comes back, I mean, is he going to be 100% healthy? I don't know. I mean, maybe he is.
Yeah,
maybe. But, you look at this – all this talk about Tampa Bay, they have the number three defense in the NFL, guys, and they're only giving up 70 yards a game on the ground, 229 through the air. And it's just – it's a revenge game, and JD, I kind of like your angle right there. Tom Brady, primetime revenge game, all of his weapons at a disposal. If you have Antonio Brown in your fantasy league, he will get him a touchdown.
He's
tomorrow.
Getting one.
He's getting one, just like he did for the Steelers
or for the Patriots.
For the Patriots. Yeah.
Yeah. Exactly.
I have no interest in New Orleans. I think they're a little bit lame. Lame is in health wise, not a lame team, but they're coming in the game a little bit lame. And I think you have Tampa Bay fired up, AB coming in there, a revenge game. They have a one game lead in the South. They're 6-2 with the Saints being 5-2, so they have a chance. They have a chance to separate a little bit right there. Thomas Carr, Bucks by 8 or more. So I like my man Thomas Carr throwing out some picks right here. So thank you, Thomas Carr. Appreciate that. Appreciate you following the show.
As long as it's by 5 or more, I'm good with
that. That's true. Josh?
Yeah, no, I agree, Ken. That's the thing I'm glad you brought up is underrated because so much press being given to Brady, which is understandable and whatnot. But that defense is just crazy.
Smothering.
So Todd Bowles, you realize that was their issue back when they had Jameis. So the Bucs might score 35. They're going to give up 38. I mean, to make that much advancement on that side of the ball, that's what's, you know, along with adding Brady, right, could get them to the NFC title game.
Still don't love their offensive line, but other than that, Buccaneers are just sound everywhere.
What do you guys think about the Antonio Brown thing? I think it's interesting because the Bucs, you know, Godwin, I mean, their receiving core in tight end.
Listen to it.
I was going
to
say, they've been banged up a lot, too. But with every the circus that he, you know, he burned like
there's
three teams.
There's not enough spots for him.
Well, that's what I'm wondering, Ken, though. Can he last, though? Can he last?
Yeah.
Like this season and
he's
beyond?
He's been personally meeting with Tony Robbins.
I saw that. He's getting some.
He's a changed man.
Some life coaching.
Life coaching.
Some inspiration. I saw that.
I'm going back. TB12 talk to
you. I hope so.
That's exactly it. If anybody can do it, it is Tom Brady. They have a good relationship. Oh, he's staying at his house. I mean, it's. Yeah. Bruce Arians had some funny things to say about him back in the day.
Because remember, they brought it up in the offseason. Yeah. It's like, no, we're good.
Yeah.
You know, we don't need
exactly.
the clown show or whatever. Yeah.
Yeah, he lit him up pretty good, as Bruce Arians will do. God bless him. But I think he's in the good spot here. This is the last chance. If he blows it up, you're not going to ever see Antonio Brown again. He's in a good spot. He doesn't have to be the man, even though I know he clearly thinks he is. So maybe he will be. We'll see. But I agree with Kenny. He's going to get a touchdown, at least one.
Exactly. Yeah. He'll have two catches for 12 yards and a touchdown.
He'll have a couple deep balls. He'll get that opportunity.
And it's funny.
Sure, he's a clown, but he's as gifted as a receiver as we can.
Oh, there's no doubt about that. His talent's never – just like Josh Gordon. There's no doubt his talent's there.
Right.
I mean, like I said, the Saints coming into this game lame. On the physical aspects is what I mean by lame. You know, banged up. Drew Brees missing practice this week. Michael Thomas day-to-day coming in. You know,
Emmanuel Sanders has been out.
Yeah.
You're right. Their receiving corps has been so much down that you didn't even know. It's like, you know, that guy's starting on the outside who were practice squad guys a week ago. Now, aside from Alvin Kamara, like in terms of their healthy weapons, Kamara's been the consistent, but in terms of receiving weapons, Jared Cook, the tight end's like the only first stringer who's been there the whole year.
So I think it's a great game. It's the late game on Sunday, the 5:20 game. I don't understand the move. Maybe they just think that, obviously they just think there's too many points, for the Saints because they were getting 5.5. Now they're only getting 4.5. So if you're looking to bet the Buccaneers, bet them off the board. Don't bet them on the card. If you're looking to bet the Saints, bet the Saints on the card. But you got the dead number 5. But with the way things are in the NFL, as high scores as games are getting, the 5's becoming a little bit more involved in scores now.
Exactly. And you're right. It's still a dead number, but it's not as unusual because of all the 2-point conversions and everything else. You get some real kind of quirky scoring margins.
Yeah. All right. Last game we have on deck, the Monday Night Football game. Patriots at the Jets. Open at 7.5. And it's up to 8. So money coming in on the Patriots. Total is 42.5 on the card. A little bit of money on the under, so it's down to 42. The Cam experiment, is it over yet, guys? I mean, where are we at with this? I mean, New England right now, they're 2-5. They're 4 games behind Buffalo. 2 games behind Miami. What happened to the flex schedule?
It starts next week, I believe.
Oh, so we could have got away from these two teams.
Because they flexed. It was supposed to be Bengals-Steelers Sunday night, and I think they flexed that to the afternoon next week.
Why not move the Chargers-Raiders, the late game on Sunday, to Monday? I mean, I would rather see that.
Well, you can't flex. You only flex Sunday night. The Monday night is set. But
I get
you.
You know what you're right. I got you.
Can do to not watch the Jets and Patriots, I'm all for.
Is there an NBA game that night or something?
Oh boy, there's got to be something.
Patriots. But,
oh,
and
Monday
Jets
Night Raw. I'll just watch Raw. But yeah, I can't come up with anything here. But lay over a touchdown with that horrible team.
Oh, I agree.
I don't know.
I couldn't do it either.
But the Jets. Huh?
But Ken, I had the story for you last week. Put together underdog parlay, whatever, and some chalks, but. Just for the early action, I liked a couple dogs outright, so I was correct with the Bengals. I had the Vikings on there, Dolphins plus 150. I was going to send you this, of course, if it won. I was one leg away. I had Patriots plus 190 on the money leg to close this thing out for like $8,000 parlay. And so, of course, there's nothing you can do. Late in the game, it was tied up. I saw everything else was winning by a mile, so I was actually able to hedge a little bit in-game when the price wasn't bad. So Cam's running down. I'm like, this is all they're doing, like designed runs. They don't have – you know, much of the way of weapons, but they're making do. It's looking like they might come down, you know, win it on a walk-off touchdown. I have this massive ticket, and Cam fumbles.
Yeah.
And there's nothing. I couldn't believe you. Believe me, I was stunned because I thought he might score.
And it wasn't like he got blistered.
Yes.
He didn't get blistered.
Right. Then I just saw him get tackled. I'm like, okay, first and 10 at the 13. Let's go.
Cam's career turned around when they were giving him grief about running over people at the goal line when they were down by 30 points and flexing on him. And he said, if you don't like it, stop it. Ever since he made that comment, they've stopped it.
Yeah,
he doesn't want to get hit anymore. You know exactly what I'm talking about.
I remember.
If they don't like it, stop it.
I also remember
he
also made that comment after the Super Bowl year. Remember, they opened
the fumble. Didn't jump on the fumble?
Week one, they opened up against the Broncos in a rematch. Remember, he got cracked in the head about 12 times in that game. So that's what the league's response was.
So, careful. Don't challenge us. Take your victories and your success with it, you know, politely.
And the good news is it does look like he's grown up a little bit, right? I think he's easy to me, at least he's easier to root for now. If you look at his interviews and stuff, he tries harder to be mature.
I've always been a Cam fan, but I also always understood the criticism.
Right.
But I don't know, and it might be the end of the road. I don't know. I have no idea. I'm just glad the Patriots are good.
You gonna George trade him? Last ride him?
Yeah, I mean, might as well. Right, if I get the chance.
Yeah. He gone.
2 minutes.
2 minutes. Josh, real quick, I know you got a bunch of stuff posted on a sports line. We got about a minute, 40 seconds left. Any college stuff that you have out there that you want to share?
Well, sure. Well, again, there's a couple of big rivalry matchups tomorrow. The big one, of course, is Georgia-Florida. I got to tell you, I kind of like the Gators in this one. Well, Georgia opened up 4.5. Immediately went down to 4, and unfortunately now it's all the way down to 3. So you're getting the worst of the number. If you acted early, got the great.
What is
key,
the Florida Georgia line?
You know, 4.5 with a total of
horrible
52
joke,
and a half. No, believe me, I understand. Yes, the joke of the band. Oh, that none of that's ever been said before regarding this game every year.
I'm gonna say it once
when
a
this
year.
Comes up. But regardless, so here's a couple things. I like the dog a little bit. Here's why: because Georgia is actually their secondary strength of their defense. They're all injured. Their senior All-American Richard LeCount's out. They're just depleted, and you know Florida can throw the ball. So I like Florida on the side a little bit, but Ken, more than anything, actually I like the over because, you know, I've been doing this all year on Florida overs because they're the perfect mix. Great offense, no defense. Both teams, I think, get in the third. I think the over's the real play.
All right, do you have any other college game where you can just hand it out? We got 1 minute.
Temple plus 17.5.
Plus 17.5. Are they playing?
SMU.
Indiana.
Michigan's minus 3 at Indiana.
Over.
I like the Wolverines.
Going over Michigan,
too.
Indiana, over. All right, I'll lead the way. You guys get your picks together. We'll hand out our picks on our. We'll actually post our picks on our Facebook page. Kenny B, ESPN Sports Handicapping. I'm going to throw out Pittsburgh minus 14.5, the Cardinals minus 4.5, Texas and Jacksonville over 15.5, the Bills plus 3 tonight, San Diego State and the Boise game over.
All right, I'll just go Bills, Ravens, Bucks for the NFL.
Josh, Bills, Ravens, Bucks.
We got a lot in common. Buccaneers, Ravens, Cardinals.
All right, and we'll post that on our Facebook page. Make sure you do all your wagering with William Hill. Download the William Hill mobile app at www.williamhill.us. See you next week, same time, same place on ESPN 94.5 FM.